This is Marketplace. I'm Kai Ryssdal. Through wars and recessions and, yes, pandemics, crossword puzzles have helped people forget hard times, even if only for as long as it takes to figure out a three-letter word for a public radio host's name, first letter K. Anyway, what started as a way newspapers used to fill space back in 1913 has become an institution in and of itself. Adrian Raphael's new book, exploring the economic and social history of the crossword puzzle, is called Thinking Inside the Box. Adrian, welcome to the program.
Thanks so much for having me.
It's not like crosswords are highbrow now, right? But you gotta have a little oomph to really figure them out. Back in the day, they were a little trashy.
Yeah, this is something I totally love about when crosswords are sort of a super fad in the 1920s. There's all these newspaper articles lamenting, oh my God, people are just coming into the libraries to just, you know, steal our dictionaries and scrawl all over and do these puzzles, and nobody's reading great literature anymore, and the crossword is going to be just the ruination of culture and rot our brains.
A note here that the New York Times, now basically synonymous with crosswords, took a while to decide it wanted to publish them.
And that's a fascinating and I think actually pretty timely story given when they started publishing them, which was February 1942 because of Pearl Harbor. And an editor writes to the publisher and says, you know, those crosswords that we've been poo-pooing for these years, well, people need something that is not these bleak headlines in the newspaper. They need something else to read in our paper. Turns out the publisher had been sort of sneakily doing the rival crosswords on the side. So, you know, twist his arm. But yeah, I think it's so telling that the crossword is this robust anchor in all times, good times, but almost especially times of stress and crisis.
Interesting also that it's kind of a distraction a lot along the lines of how we use our phones now, right?
And the digital app, the crossword, keeps getting stronger on the phone. And there's lots of apps for the crossword. Mm-hmm. And I'm playing when I'm standing in line somewhere. I like it better than other things on my phone, you know?
Fair enough. One cannot mention crossword puzzles on public radio without talking about Will Shortz, the puzzle editor of the New York Times, and whatever it is on Weekend Edition, to which, you know, I listen every now and then. Among the many things that he has sort of institutionalized in the world of crosswords, my favorite little tidbit from this book is that he's the guy who really codified the gradient difficulty levels from Monday through Sunday in the Times crosswords.
Yeah, that had been starting when he took over as editor in 1993, but he really sharpened that up and they think really hard about, okay, is this, you know, a tough Monday? Is this, or is this an easy Tuesday? Or is this a medium Wednesday? It's become like a sort of unofficial gradient to really a way that people understand how the crossword works.
And also a method, and I thought this was totally fascinating, a method of inclusion, right? Because, I mean, I would get clobbered by the Sunday Times, but I can do like a Monday, Tuesday pretty easily and feel pretty good about myself.
I think that's so great, you know, that there's a home for everybody in the crossword. And the beauty of it is you can start at any level and the crossword's there for you.
Adrian Raphael, her book is called Thinking Inside the Box. Adrian, thanks a lot.
Thanks so much.
You can learn more about how crossword puzzles ended up in the New York Times and an excerpt from Adrian's book. It is, of course, at marketplace.org.